Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll pick up with verse 14 and read through verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. Paul writes, keep reminding them of these things, the things that preceded this, with a trustworthy statement. Keep reminding them of these things that they already know. They've already heard, but keep reminding them of these things. That's what worship, that's what living this life is about. Keep remembering of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value, and it only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Our Heavenly Father, we know this is your word, inspired by your Holy Spirit, coming off of the pens of your people, and who have been inspired, and they wrote these God-breathed words written into their souls and upon their hearts. Pray, Father, that that Spirit who is in us and who is here would lead us in worship, really saying amen to these truths and aligning our hearts with yours. I pray, Father, that we would be ever aware of your presence when we're thinking, when we're listening, when we're speaking, when we're doing. May your presence guide us every step of the way, as we would be reminded, as we would be diligent to present ourselves before you worthy, to present ourselves before you approved, as you have been guiding our steps. So we worship you, Lord, in this moment. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 again. These words have been kind of. I keep returning to these words, and have all week, last weekend, as we actually talked about these words before. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved. The New American Standard Bible, the New King James Bible, I believe the ESV says, it says, be diligent to present yourself before God as one who is approved by God. How do you present yourself before God? When does it happen? Is this what we come to church on Sunday and we say, well, Lord, here I am. I'm here now. I guess they can start. I'm here listening now, but speak quickly. I'm here now, Lord. I'm going to talk to my kids. I'm going to talk to my spouse. I'm going to talk to my friends about you. So, yeah, here I am. Use me now. How do we go about presenting ourselves to God? I read this in a commentary by Lenski. It just kind of stirred my heart. Lenski was a German Lutheran. Here I am, a Baptist, listening or reading one of the best commentaries of the New Testament, written by this Lutheran, Lenski. And he stirred my heart with this reminder. He was just reminding me, John, you talk about God being present all the time. Well, he's present all the time. When I'm talking, when I'm meditating, when I'm napping, he's present all the time. When I wake up from the nap and I've been startled and there's somebody from our church standing there and I go, amen. Come on, you've done it too. Now, it's like we're kind of a little bit, maybe it's easy for me, though I have preached for decades about recognizing the presence of God and saying that's the very fear of the Lord, to recognize the presence of God. It's to be kind of in a position where I'm awestruck by him. I'm in awe. I'm in the presence of the King of the universe. I'm in the presence of my Savior, Jesus. I'm in the presence of the Holy Spirit who is in me. Think of those words from David, Psalm 139. I can remember countless ways I've listened to these first six verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You've searched me. You've kind of, the word is like, searched is like, he's talking about a miner digging or panning for gold. He's looking for something precious right now. He's looking for something special in me. That's right. And you. Well, I wasn't thinking about you when I read, oh, Lord, you have searched me. But in fact, at this moment, to my friend in Pakistan who wrote me today, I got his letter. We sent some relief to Pakistan for him and his ministry because he's working with people. He lost much of his own home, and he's delivering goods to other people who've been just devastated by the floods and still dealing with them. Sharon sent me a letter, and he had a picture of himself looking amazingly handsome. I saw him as a good-looking guy, but he is amazingly handsome. He was wearing a tuxedo and it just all sorts of fancy stuff, and he said, I got married. And then the other side of the picture is his wife, Kamal. And he said, pray for us. He's pastoring the church that his dad pastored after his dad died, and quite suddenly. Wait, oh Lord, you've searched Sharon and you've known him. You know him right now. You know him when he preaches. You know him when he counsels. You know him when he delivers food. You know, and then he comes and he doesn't say to you, Lord, I did this for you today. Is that what it means to present yourself to God? To tell him what you've been doing lately? No. When I'm presenting the food, when I'm praying, when I'm meditating in God's word, when I'm listening to a friend, when I'm discussing something with a friend, when we're having maybe a serious discussion, or maybe it's some of this talk that he says, don't go there. with each other. It's leading to these arguments, and you're all wound up about the wrong stuff. You're not thinking about me. Now listen, while you're presenting yourself and your argument before somebody, when you're presenting your message, Pastor John, I'm right there listening. You're presenting it to me. And you're presenting to me approved. You're speaking my word. And it really becomes approved. But it's the way the Greek word and the very words that he's using and the grammar that's involved is saying it's presented approved. Because I'm there. I never left you. I never left the person you're talking, the people you're talking to right now. Well, my service in the worship service is, there's one more in the room. Whether we're aware of it and reverent to this truth, but he's present. And it's his ears for whom I'm speaking, for his approval. And he knows. It's like God already is, just like prevenient grace, he's already, his grace is previous. It's ahead of us. It's ahead of us. How do we present ourselves to him? Approved. How do we present ourselves to him as blameless? You know, I was thinking about this just repeatedly throughout this week. God's here. I had a conversation with somebody this week that became a little bit... Man, it was like, are you two listening to each other? It really was. You ever been in one of those? It seems like you're on such different wavelengths. But in the midst of that, God was listening. He was listening. The first point in your notes says focus on winning God's winning approval in God's sight, or presenting yourself as approved in God's sight. Look at turn back in your Bibles to, as you've got your Bibles open, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Paul writes about this a lot. Jesus actually speaks about it a lot, to be approved before God. Paul says in verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Am I now trying to, he's already said some really, really tough things to them. He's saying, I'm astonished, actually verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by his grace. And somehow or other, you seem to think that now you can fix yourself more than my grace can fix you. So you're going back. You're telling people they need to be circumcised. They're Gentiles. Now they need to be circumcised to come into the family of God. Come on. Are you thinking you can make yourself better before God by keeping the law? The law is as good as it is. But even if we or an angel of God would preach to you another gospel, which is a gospel according to works, you can kind of make yourself so much better. Let him be eternally condemned. Verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or God? And he's applying this not just to himself, he's applying it to them. He wants them to think about that. Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. and that's what I am, is his servant. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think of myself, I try to see myself against this backdrop. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 6 verses. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, that book that Dennis took us into today. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives. Oh, there's a key here. The appeal that we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men, what is it? Approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know that we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men or agreement from men, not from you or anyone else. Do your best to, or be diligent, to present yourself before God as one approved. Come into his presence, Dennis read today, with thanksgiving in your heart. How do we navigate this? How do we navigate giving? Well, it's Thanksgiving time. We had a wonderful group of testimonies on the screen today, didn't we? To kick off the service, people, we don't know them, but they're giving thanksgiving to God. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. And as you do, just be aware of his presence. Be aware of it. How do we go about being aware of God's presence? Understanding that the one who is here, right here, beside you, beside me. Because when he says coming into his presence, he's talking about basically standing alongside of God. And you're aware of the fact that he's here. Come into his presence. Stand up, face to face, side by side with him. And he says, I approve. How do we continue to maintain that awareness of his presence? Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15. He said these words, and John pulls those same kind of words along into his first little letter. He says, abide in me. If you abide in me, like the branches abide in the vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. So stay connected to me. How do we stay connected to him? Aware of his presence right here beside us. How do you do that? How do you abide in him? Well, we know we can have our devotions, and we can spend a little extra time, and we can just hang around and in that with him. And like the people in Samaria, after they heard the testimony of the woman at the well, they said, "We've come. Would you stick around, Jesus, for a little while?" And after he stayed a couple days, they said, "Well, we believe because of what she said, but we've been hanging out with you now. And now we believe. We really believe in our heads and in our hearts. And we're putting our trust in you. We believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." that was a good day of devotions. How do we maintain that relationship where we recognize that he's present? Well, sometimes it just really helps to have God's word committed to memory. Sometimes it's as you go to sleep at night that you kind of have a song in your mind or heart. You have a psalm, you have an assurance from God's word that you start to think about this. You have a song. Marilyn and I were laughing last night as we were doing our devotions, there was this song, and the title of the song and the first line of the song, she started to sing. I said, Marilyn, you've got the wrong song. We've done that before. We started singing the wrong tune. It's from a hymnal. And I think it was the song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I've got the words here. And the song that she was trying to sing to this song was not this song. But at least, you know, I said, I think it's this song. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Well, again, she was not reading. She was trying to put some other words to that tune, and it really kind of works in a lot of hymns. It really does. They have the same tune for many different hymns, but you know, we kind of laughed a little bit about that, and because we both have done that. That's why we usually don't sing at that time of night. But, you know, I kind of went to bed with that first couple lines. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. How do we become more and more aware of God's presence? Well, we were talking about this a couple weeks in our growth group. We sing. We sing, and we carry a song with us into the night, into our sleep. We kind of wake up singing that. Or we wake up in the morning singing that song. It becomes kind of emblazoned on our psyche, on our awareness of what's happening. And we're presenting ourselves before God while we're resting throughout the night. And we're presenting ourselves before God as before we put our feet on the floor in the morning. We're resting in him, knowing that he's right there to receive, as Dennis read the scripture, to receive or to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. I was thinking about a friend that used to be part of this congregation, now lives in another state, Mike Ely and Diana used to sit right in this area. Right over here. And some of the songs that we sang then, I remember him saying to me, and every time I sing this song, talk about when it's difficult for my feet to walk in this water, I try to keep my eyes above the waves. And he and Diana went through some terrible loss. As he called it, like a slow train wreck, as their daughter slowly lost her life. And some of these songs that even describe loss, while the song was sometimes painful, he just kept reminding himself in that song, so I try to keep my eyes above the waves. But I can't ever forget Laura as well, before she passed. All of life, our debating, our talking, our teaching, our preaching, our serving, God is present. as we present ourselves before each other, listen, we are presenting ourselves before Him simultaneously. And whose opinion, as we present ourselves before each other and before Him, is the most important opinion? It's His. And when I'm mindful of that, I kind of forget you. And I'm like the athlete out on the court who looks up to see his big brother in the stands, who was Mr. Football in the city. And that athlete out on the field is running down the field on the kickoff, and he's not focused on what's coming up in front of him. He's on the defensive team, and he's running, he's just kind of thinking about, what's my brother thinking of me? Or an athlete like Mike Ruzioni, it was on the 1984 Miracle on Ice. They beat the Russians that year in the semifinals. And he said, when the game was over, I turned around. I mean, who was he looking for? He was looking for his dad. With whatever we're doing, we're presenting ourselves before our spouse, our kids, our class, before the person who picks up the trash, we're presenting ourselves before that person with a smile on our face and a wave and a thanks. But it's all before Him, presenting ourselves approved because we are abiding with Him. How do we abide in Him? Well, once again, am I holding on? Well, part of that abiding is to develop more and more the practice of having a conversation throughout the day with the Lord. Just simple conversation. Lord, help. Just, would you help me? Now I'm stuck in this conversation. I think we're both in too deep. We're really, it's getting kind of hot under the collar. And I'm presenting before you, and you're presenting before me, but God is listening. Have a kind of an ongoing conversation. Lord, guide me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Do you think He will? Some of our friends, I love this. We've gotten we had a bunch of new friends, and you'll hear me talk about this because we're all part of the same body. I mean, this local body, the Spanish-speaking congregation and ours. And if we're doing some work together, if we've done something together, I think it's really important that we say thanks, right? Just say thank you. Thanks for serving. When we get together, I hope you're planning on coming to the Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, this is part of what we do life together, and we give thanks. And we'll be giving, some people will be doing pop-up testimonies, just I'm thankful for this, and it won't be meaningless. So this is cool. Give thanks. But, sometimes I've thanked a few friends from the Spanish-speaking congregation, and this is what they'll say. Every once in a while, and these are choice servants of the Lord. I'll say, thanks for doing that. Thanks for your skill. Thanks for your, and I'll sometimes get met by, well, I'm not doing it for the church, and I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord, and that's how we should be serving. We don't necessarily need to say, well, I'm not doing it for you. I'm not preaching today for you. Although I wouldn't mind a pat on the back afterwards. Like, well, that was insightful. And I wouldn't mind it. But as soon as I say that, it's like, well, you just lost the blessing there. But I'm doing it because here's the big deal. Whose word is this? It's God's word. It's His word. And the thing that I need to be ever more aware of this is that He's listening, right? And when I start saying, well, this is what this says, I need to be concerned about this. It's like, Lord, is that what you meant? I just told them that's what you mean. I told you them this is what it says. But this is your word, Lord. So help me get it right and represent you well. I'm thinking about that now as I'm speaking. I just want to say with no more, no less than right on for what you want us to know. Paul says, do your best to present yourself approved before God. Be diligent about this. Give it all you have, all the attention to be fully aware that when you serve me, when you represent me, I'm there listening. Do it well. For all of us, it's not just the speakers. It's the people sitting with their open Bible. Help me understand, Lord, today. Those, as we study the word, as we meditate on the word, as we pray the word, present yourself to God, approved before Him. And then the rest of this paragraph or so, he says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Again, pressing your point. We came away from a week with a full of godless chatter, right? I mean, it doesn't make any difference which side you're on. It was full of chatter, speculation. And we need a dose of reality. This is the way it is. I was listening to somebody talk about this who I think is a really, really wise person, and I really value this. Was talking about, and this person is an expert in the life of Winston Churchill, you know, the guy that saved the world. I mean, from a human perspective, I mean, he held the line against the Third Reich in World War II. Prime Minister of England, a prolific writer, a true, an amazing statesman. Winston Churchill believed that, well, listen, you know, right after the war, he saved England. He saved the world. And he got voted out immediately. Voted out as prime minister. And he came back later. Boy, this guy's, you know, he's got persistence. But the person who's an expert in the life of Winston Churchill said, Churchill had this philosophy. You don't relitigate history. You don't relitigate it. It is what it is. I got voted out. This is what will be, and it was, you gotta take the consequences and live with this, including him. Take the consequence and live with it. It's history. And some wise people across time, from Aristotle to, person's name is now slipping me. A great churchman, and they both said there are certain things that this one thing, not even God can do, and that was to reverse history. What has happened has happened. Now, what are you going to do about it? God is all powerful, but he's not going to rewrite history like sometimes we are prone to do in America. Take it and move on. Beyond that, it's going to be all just kind of godless chatter. It's not going to get you anywhere. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, verse 16. It will lead only to further frustration and ungodliness. Their talk, that kind of talk, will spread like gangrene. You young people, you know what gangrene is? Gangrene can kill you. It can be caused by blood vessels that no longer work. They no longer feed tissue, and tissue begins to die. It begins to die to the point of the death of the host. Sometimes it could be a bacteria that infects a part of the body, typically an arm or a leg. And if it's not amputated, if you don't take drastic steps, it will kill you. It'll kill the host. We see war scenes dramatically played out, but don't cut my leg off. I couldn't stand the thought of going through life without a leg. But this meaningless chatter will spread like gangrene. It'll lead to more and more confusion and futile speculation. Why am I even emphasizing this? Because, the political pundits will, want us wound up about this. I mean, this is they make a living doing this. It provides a probably pretty good living for them. Whether it's on the political right or left or independent, we need to, when we find ourselves, how do you get out of this and present yourself before God when you find yourself getting sucked into this meaningless dialogue, if you can even call it dialogue? I think we probably need a healthy dose of Romans chapter 1. Let's look at a few words from Romans chapter 1. I mean, this is just like a reset when we're maybe wound up by too much negativity and fruitless arguments. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. That's good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God. Over fruitless discussions. It is the power of God. For the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For the gospel, in the gospel, a righteousness from God. Do you want to know what's righteous, or do you want to just hang out with speculation? He's got a remedy for that as well. For the gospel is a righteousness that's from God, and it's revealed. It takes revelation. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, the wrath of God is being revealed. This needs to be part of our conversation. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who push down or suppress the truth by their wickedness, since that which may be known about God is plain for all of them to see, because God has made it plain to everybody on the earth. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood. There's somebody out there who has made me so that men are without excuse. Now, I wanted to read all that to just the very next little paragraph. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and foolish. Hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And it got worse and worse from there. And that's the route we go down when we continue to just practice meaningless and senseless conversations. It will spread like wildfire. Just to wrap up the paragraph from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place. Well, the resurrection of Christ had already taken place, but they just said, no more. No more resurrection. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll see there's a lot more for us as believers to know and move along with. So they say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. I mean, in their conversation, they were listening to them in the restaurant, and they went, somebody was listening to you talk about that, and maybe debating that, or anything else. And their faith was kind of just demolished. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, "The Lord knows who are his." Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. You know him? Then take his medicine. Stop that stuff that is meaningless speculation. It's going to get no one anywhere. In fact, it could probably destroy a lot of lives who are, you think, are on the sidelines and not listening. They're listening. Don't go there. He even says in these verses that we just read, run away from it. Shun it. Shun it. Well, I got to go. And somebody is saying, yeah, you do. Right now. So practice the presence of God. Speak to him throughout the day. Just get in the habit of, well, Lord, well, right now, I think maybe I need to put a lid on this. I need to shun this. Would you just kind of help me do that with grace? And bye for now. Would you stand with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the times that we know, Lord, that we stand in your presence, whether we are sitting or having quiet time with you, and it's one of those holy moments set aside, or whether we're listening to something in church, whether we're teaching, whether we're speaking to give instruction to a family member, and just try to build people up and encourage them with a gift or just our presence. I thank you, Lord, and I pray you to remind me that in all of this, you're here searching us, searching me. And may that presence, Lord, just help us guide our hearts. May you guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus out of that relationship. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.